Do what makes you happy at the end of the day. Forget everybody, because at the end of the day, people will talk, but then they stop.
And yes.
When you get to a certain point in your life, you will realize that sometimes people don't care as much as you think they care. They say, oh, she's single again. They don't sit every single day and think about you. Nobody has time.
Exactly.
Behind every smile is a story of pain, strength, and resilience. The Blueprint Podcast is where those stories are told, where we heal, evolve, and reclaim what's ours. And whether you're a woman finding her voice or a man ready to listen and grow, this space is for you. Together, we rise back into her.
Hey, hey, welcome to another episode. If you are new here, I'm your host and sister, Yanique, and I am so excited about today's conversation. Let's be real. Dating can be tough, and building a community around love probably even tougher, especially when you're dealing with all these mixed personalities. But today's guest, Shanna Spence, aka Gemini, has done exactly that. She created the biggest Black singles group in Toronto. She's not just a powerhouse in business. She's a mom of twins twice over, okay? And a woman who knows what it means to build community, walk in her transparency, and may I add, confidently. Shanna, welcome to The Blueprint. I'm so glad you're here.
Thank you for having me.
How are you feeling?
Nervous, but excited.
Listen, there's nothing to be nervous about. We're just going to be having a conversation just like old times, because we go way back, right?
Way back.
Fun fact, guys. Shanna and I, in probably 2015, thereabout, created this app that we wanted to use to help pair foreigners with locals in Jamaica. So we called it Find a Friend.
Oh, you're remembering the name. Oh my God. Yeah. I still have the contract in my email.
Yeah, right. Because we even did a contract, guys, because we wanted to make sure that it's official and we know how we were going to partner. There was one other person that a friend of us we also partnered with. And it was quite a thing.
The concept was good. Foreigners with locals, and
it was I just remembered Caribbean Friends.
There we go.
I still think it's a dope idea, and maybe we'll revisit it. Who knows? Yeah, but Shanna,
yes,
I must ask, you're a mom of twins twice.
Yes.
What was it like first being pregnant with twins for the first time, and then also the second time learning that you're having twins again? What was that like?
The first time, it's funny because a classmate of mine from primary school, she said, you remember how you were so obsessed with twins? I'm like, really? She's like, yeah, you thought I was a twin, and you wanted me to have a twin sister, and you wanted a twin sister. And I'm like, oh, I didn't remember that I was obsessed with twins. She's like, yeah, and you have your two sets of twins. And I'm like, you're right. Like, I never realized I had that obsession, because my dad is a twin as well. And my brother has twins as well. So first time, it was exciting. It was like, oh, my God, twins, yeah, I can dress them alike. And second time around, you're like, oh, yeah, I got this. Been there, done that. And then you meet your match and you're like, oh my God, like, I know nothing, because the gap is so big. 14 years.
Dang.
Yes.
That's like starting all over.
Literally.
Wow.
Yeah, I'm packing lunches again.
Wow. I always wish I had twins, because I feel like you just go one time and done.
But you're spending double. Every single Christmas, my cart, like, people think I'm selling items, because I have, my friend has twins, my nieces are twins, I have two sets of twins. My dad's a twin. So everything is double. Yeah.
And you got two twins. Oh my gosh. Okay. Now that you put it like that, it's a different ball game. Guys, a lot of us want that, but be careful what we wish for, because
money.
Think about carrying all those bags, two bags, two car seats.
Two everything. Two. Putting one to bed, one's asleep.
Yeah.
Fun times.
Oh, fun times. Yes. But who's Shana in this season? Like, who are you today?
That's such an interesting question, because I feel like every time the kids go through a different stage, I'm a different version of myself. Last year, I said TLC has to call me because I have toddlers and teenagers, and nobody talks about toddlers and teenagers, how to balance both. This year, I have college students and kindergarten kids, right? So today we're shopping for clothes for college kids, yet I just got some light up sneakers for the boys. My brain still can't figure out how I'm doing this. So I don't know who I am right now. It's rediscovering yourself now that you have independent kids and kids who are still depending on you. So who are you to them and who are you to yourself? I don't know.
Yes, and that's an interesting question indeed, because I remember, and I wrote about this in my book, I remember a few years, maybe 2 years ago, when I finally decided I was going to start dating again after my divorce. And I would go on dates and they would say, oh, so what do you like to do for fun?
You're like, what do you mean by that?
My entire life revolves around my son. Yeah. What do I do?
What do you think?
And then I would freeze, because I'm like,
what do you do for fun?
I didn't do anything.
Exactly.
Yeah. And so, women, if you're in this position right now where you're questioning, or even if you haven't questioned it before, but now when you hear me ask Shana this question, you're like, okay, now I gotta take stock. Who am I? What do I love to do? It's okay for you to take the time and actually start documenting these things, because for me, it meant I had to rediscover myself. Uh-huh. I had to start going out to different places and testing things, because before my son, I was a different person.
Yep.
And now, son, I'm like, okay.
And as he gets older, even for me at least, every time the kids hit a different age, it changes my requirements for dating. Because now I said, maybe I should put that I have two kids, because technically I have two adults. So now I'm starting to think different. And some websites will give you that option to say kids are over 18. So they don't care if they're home, they're over 18. So they don't consider them as kids. But it's constantly changing, right?
Constantly changing, and that's okay. It's all about rediscovering who we are as a person, as outside of being a mom, outside of being a wife. Who are you when none of these things
exist?
Yeah. As we talk about dating, I know you have created Toronto's first Black singles group, and I think it's called Toronto's Black Singles United, right?
Yes, TBSU, and it's for sure.
Yeah, so a dating group where you connect singles with, become couple. Or no, that's not what, tell me about it.
The first concept of it was, how I started it was that I was always known as the dater, the single person amongst my friends. And every single friend had a dating advice. Don't go on dating websites. Don't this, don't that. You need to wait. And then I'm like, okay, fine. And then when the weekend comes, I'm like, hey, let's hang out. And nobody's available. And I'm like, who am I going to hang out with? So I said, you know what? Let me create a group with people who don't have anybody to hang out with because they're single. And it started off like that. So when it first started, it was just, it's as if we met some friends that we didn't know we had. So we had older ladies who never been married, 40, 50, 60 years old. We had a girl my age at the time, I was in my 20s, but she had a teenager son. And I was like, oh, my God. You know, she was married for 10 years. And then you had, you know, you had people from different backgrounds, different sexual orientation. Like, one girl, she was married to a pastor, and now she's a lesbian. And now she's rediscovering herself. So we all connected on that level. And then online, it was like, let's talk about dating. Let's talk about dating experience. Let's talk about dating in the city. And we also hang out. So that was what set us apart from every other group, is that we actually hang out outside of just talking all the time.
Nice. I must ask, Atlanta dating is terrible.
Not
right. I've heard stories about Toronto.
It's the same. It's the same. It's literally. Oh. I said it all the time. I said it is literally the same. Nothing different. Wow. Yes.
So. That's crazy, but that's amazing that you were able to bring people together from all walks, different background, different sexual orientation, and just hang out, because a lot of single people need that.
Yeah.
You still need to hang out. You still need to have fun. And I also wrote about this in the book, because sometimes people feel like being single is the end of the road and there's no other alternative. But see, Shanna was able to create a group and bring people together so that they don't feel lonely. They don't feel left out. They don't feel like, oh, my friends are hanging out with their spouse and here I am. Not having anything to do.
Yeah. Especially if all your friends are married or they're having kids. People don't talk about these things as adults. It's being like a kid on a playground trying to find a new friend at the playground. This is literally adulthood at 40 years old is who am I going to hang out with? Will this person be my friend? Because they're doing something that I'm interested in. Be my friend, please. Like, you're begging.
And you were able to grow that group to over 2,000 members, right?
Yes. And we have a few babies, marriages, people are still together. Yes. So
that's amazing.
Yeah, it was running for almost 8 years. And I decided to take a break to discover me, because I spent so many years finding that connection for people. And I found a connection myself as well.
Oh, did you?
Yes.
Okay. So, what's about that?
For my second set of twins, I met their dad in the group as well. We got married and we had the boys. We're now separated. They're actually by him right now for the long weekend. So, you know, it didn't work out, but when it did, it worked. Until it didn't. So,
I'm sorry it didn't work out, but it also shows that you were living by example. You were like, hey, guys, this is a singles group. We created this so that we can hang out as singles, but what's to say you won't find your person here? And you also mentioned that others were able to find their person, have babies, get married. So you found somebody. And while it didn't work out because of whatever reason, you did. What was the experience for you like having a spouse in the actual group that you're now leading? Did he join in and help you to lead the group, or what did that look like?
That's such an interesting question. So his personality was completely opposite. It's more like, you do your thing, I'm good, go do your thing. So he wasn't really that let me be in the spotlight person. It was just, do your thing, I'll stay home, go host your group. I think sometimes they say opposite attracts, but in that case, I wanted him there. I wanted him there. I visioned myself with a partner who we're building this together, and it didn't happen. And when it didn't work out, I think a part of it was like, how do I tell this to my group because did I fail? Am I an example of a failure when everybody is thinking, oh my God, this is so great. She found her partner. They had kids. They're married. We were like the poster couple.
No.
Pretty much. Okay. Right. But then I said, you know what? I have to be honest. I have to let them know that I took a chance. We tried and it didn't work out. And that is okay. That part, a lot of people said, no, don't tell anybody. And I said, no. I need to be honest. I need to be honest about the journey so that I'm not giving a false representation of the journey, pretty much, right? So I opened up about it. People were shocked. But it was another stage because here I am coming into this group with 10-year-olds and thinking, okay, my kids are growing up and now I'm leaving this group with kids who are in high school about to graduate and infants. Yeah. My whole world completely changed. So I didn't go in the dating game, anything like that, because I said, I'm not in a place where I'm ready to date. Who's going to date a girl with young kids and teenagers who are probably in their head rebellious, right? They're not, but people will think that. Yeah. So I took a break. I try to discover myself during that time.
That's deep because I understand the hesitation with telling because you're like, this is the brand. This is what I've created.
Yeah.
I want to be the example. I want people, basically the poster child. I want people to look and say, hey, she did it. So we all can do it too.
We can do it too.
But how do I step in and tell them that, hey, guess what? I failed. Like, what was that season like for you? How long did it take you for you to finally open up and actually let them know that,
I had to make sure that it was completely over because I didn't want to send out a false alarm and then we're okay again. So I made sure we were completely done, going our separate ways, moving out from each other. Like, so even, I think I met someone from my group. I saw them like a month or two ago. And they're like, what are you doing down here? And I said, I live down here now. And they're like, no, I was at your house at a house party with your husband. And I said, things have changed. That was a couple of years ago. And they were really shocked because some people still didn't know. Right.
Yeah.
Even though, because they said I was joking. When I said it, I said, hey, I'm single. I'm back on the market. And they're like, no, you're joking. Like, but I said, no, I'm being real. But I think because I was so real with it, they didn't believe me. But it took a while because I had to make sure it's over. And if I
What would you say to women who are in the same situation where they started a relationship within a circle where everybody knew, and now they're at a point where it's no longer working? What would you say to them?
Honestly, do what makes you happy at the end of the day. Mm. Forget everybody, because at the end of the day, people will talk, but then they stop. And when you get to a certain point in your life, you will realize that sometimes people don't care as much as you think they care. They say, oh, she's single again. They don't sit every single day and think about you. Nobody has time to think. The world doesn't revolve around you. And I tell my kids this, it sounds like such a harsh thing to say, but the moment you realize that people don't really care, then live your life.
Yep.
So if it's over, it's over. If you want to move on, move on. If it's not working for you, it's okay. It's okay that it didn't work out. Like, it's fine. Right? And once you're in that mindset, it changes how you do things because you're no longer doing it for others. You're doing it for yourself.
Exactly. I definitely agree with that because there was a time when I cared. And caring that much about what people have to say about you keeps you trapped, keeps you stifled. You're constantly worried about, but like Shanna said, people don't really care. They will talk. Yeah, because that's what gossiping does. So they're going to talk for the first week or so. Did you hear that John Brown and Gemini broke up? Yeah. What happened?
Yeah. But then tomorrow, Sarah and John break up and now they've moved on. And that's it. It happens with even celebrities. Like, you talk about it, it's a buzz, and then you forget about it.
Yep. It's no longer at the forefront of your mind. So nobody's going to sit down and think about you guys for years to come or months to come. They're going to talk in the moment, but that's it. So as like Shanna said, the advice is live. Don't allow people to keep you trapped in a situation. I remember I was speaking to somebody recently and they told me they also got a divorce, but it wasn't so much the divorce that cut deep. It was the embarrassment of it all, because people are going to be talking. But people are going to talk. Again, going back to what we were saying, they're going to talk for that 1 week and then that's it. Or
however long.
9 day wonders. After 9 days, nobody remembers the situation. So I'm going to go back to the dating and then your group. You mentioned that a few people got married. A few people got divorced, and you also felt like you needed to take a break from the group. So, two-part question. What was it that made you get to the point of, you know what, I need to step away? Was it the divorce situation or the separation situation made you feel a little bit overwhelmed or no?
No, that wasn't it. And what was your...
And the second question is, how many people got married? What was like the success rate within your group?
Okay, so I'll answer the first question. It wasn't the separation that caused me to. It was what I mentioned earlier. How do I go back into the dating world when I'm a completely different person than when I was before? And at this age... when you're pushing 40, your goals for dating is a little bit different than when you were in your 20s with kids, right? So it was trying to figure out, who am I? What do I want? You know, I always used to joke and I said, I can't decide if I want to be a hoe or a housewife. And I would joke with my friends because I'm like, I haven't been out there long enough to know if I'm ready to settle again. But at the same time, I found comfort in having a partner and building a future with that one person. Right. Yeah. So that was the main reason. In terms of success rate, it's really hard to put a number on it. Cause I still see the couples on my Facebook, Instagram pop up every now and then. They're hiding the babies, but I know the babies are there. But in something that's, to me, that's bigger than the relationships, a lot of friendships were formed. And
that's good.
Two of the girls from my group were actually the MCs for my wedding. I had a friend who was really close to that, died of cancer. Like, we were really close. I experienced a lot of deaths in the group because you go from knowing X amount of people in your city to knowing over 2,000 people and meeting at least 500-600 or more within a period of time. So now you know a lot of people. And the debt rate, unfortunately, went up with that as well. So that took a toll on me as well. It's like, I really don't want to hear that another member died. So that was hard as well. But the friendships, seeing people form these forever friendships is to me, that's even more rewarding, that you have somebody to hang out with. Most of my friends are actually older than me. Most of my friends, I have a lot of 50-year-old friends that they go on dates more often than a 20-year-old.
Yeah.
They're living their lives and stuff. So it's good to see that all of that came from a singles group. Right?
Yeah, that's very good. Not the dead part. I'm so sorry about that. Because even at my job right now, we've lost 3 people within my department this year. So I know it cannot feel good when people in your close circle, people that you know, is just passing. So sorry about that. And yeah, definitely know that could have weighed down on you. But the friendship aspect of it, that's great.
Yeah.
Because I am a part of groups here in Atlanta. When I came out of COVID, and I was like, I don't know anybody here because I had just moved the year before. So I'm here, have my baby. I'm like, I don't know anybody. I found groups online that I became close with, and then we started traveling and we started doing stuff together. So definitely understand the community piece of that. Yeah. So I know you have to have some sweet stories or bitter stories. So what are some of the most interesting things that you've seen within the groups?
You know what? Let's say this. I hold a lot of secrets that I will take to my grave. And I realized early in the game that you have to be able to keep these secrets. I will have people coming to me saying, hey, I like that guy over there. And I'm like, yeah, talk to him. And then he will say, hey, I like this girl. And I'm like, oh, go ahead and talk to her. And or a random girl will come and say, that guy brought me on a date. Oh, my God, he's so sweet. I'm like, oh, my God, that's so nice. But the guys sometimes know that I know, but they don't want to ask. And it happens with the girls as well. But it's like, at the end of the day, it's not my business. And they're dating at the same time. So let them date. I had a lot of people who were poly. That was interesting because I don't think people who are involved in that lifestyle. That's a word I learned, lifestyle. people who are involved in that lifestyle, they don't really know the rules properly, and it causes a lot of friction. So that was interesting to see. I used to ask questions. I used to say, okay, so how does this work? So you have her on a Monday, and then she's the Wednesday. She's the weekend. She's weekend with that one.
Okay, I am on Friday night. Okay.
Yeah, so you got to check your calendar. And I said, I used to say, aren't you exhausted? But that was the lifestyle. So it was, I've heard about it, but to see it happen in front of my face, it's as if I was seeing Hugh Hefner in live and direct. And I'm like, oh my God, this is crazy. So that was pretty fun to see. I was very shocked that a lot of people were involved in this lifestyle that they call it. And so it's a bigger lifestyle than you would think. A lot of people are deciding, okay, maybe multiple partners might just work in terms of finances, in terms of housing, in terms of needs. It depends on what you go into it for, right? So don't knock it. I've never tried it. It's something to look into.
I'm gonna go ahead and knock it for me. Not for anybody else. For me. Listen, if you're into poly, putting it out there on this platform, if you're into poly, please don't inbox me. Please don't stop me. That lifestyle is not for me. I don't knock the people who want to do it, but I want my man. For me. Yes.
They just want several.
Fun lifestyle.
And we've had in the group, we've had sleepovers, we've had our pajama parties are always fun. I actually miss those. And the interesting thing is that when we have our sleepovers, people assume crazy things happen. But all we of do, course. We just play some games and then we're like, okay, guys, we're going to cut the live now. And we just continue playing our games, get drunk and go to bed. But people create stories.
You don't know.
And I will hear back the different stories that I heard so-and-so happen at the sleepover. And I'm like, who said that? Were
your eyes open all night?
All night.
You don't know what probably went down when your eyes were closed, man.
I'll say this. I was the only person who was allowed to record anything.
Okay.
If my phone gets lost, then all the Toronto business is out there. Let's just say that.
Oh my gosh. Yeah. Okay.
So nobody else. So it's a really big responsibility to have because you don't want people to feel like this is a safe space. And yep. I felt like I created that safe space for people to be themselves. And it was a no judgment zone. So
that's good.
Glad I did that. And I still hold the secrets dear to my heart and my phone.
Yes. Does that then make you a little bit timid when it comes on to dating? Like, okay, I've seen so much things. I am more cautious about dating. Does that happen to you?
You know, the interesting thing is people would say, oh my God, you have the group. You must go on crazy dates. And I'm like, no, they're afraid to date me. And they're like, really? I said, it's kind of like dating your boss. If it doesn't work out, you don't want to get fired. So they don't want to be removed from the group. So I might see somebody that I like and I send them a DM. Hey, how are you? Well, that's my version of flirting. Hi. And then they would just say, oh my God, I love the group. I'm like, so what do you do for fun? And then it turned into such a casual conversation because they just think I'm just saying hi. And my ex, it was the same thing. He just thought I was just being pleasant for months because I was the one who was messaging him. And he thought I was just being nice, just introducing myself and asking how his day was. So I, unfortunately, didn't get to... I did date in the group, but and then if I go on the dating website, I'm seeing my members on there as well.
Okay. So you can't even message them there.
It's weird.
I'm sure. I'm sure, definitely. What do you think is a problem with dating these days?
Oh, how many time you got? How much time you got? The issue, I think, because my focus was black love, black on black dating. So I'll speak for my community, what I think the issue was. I just think that our people have so much deep rooted trauma and we trigger each other as black men and black women. And I feel like it's something that there isn't enough help for us to fix this problem. Where, for example, you grew up as a man seeing your mom a certain way, being this strong, hardworking black woman, and then you meet a girl who is very independent, doing her thing, not the stay-at-home mom, and you as a guy think, you're too different. Why aren't you cooking my meals every day? Why? Because my mom did it. My mom had 6 kids. She held a house down and she worked, right? So you're using what you saw as a strong black woman and expecting that in your future partner. And things have changed. While this person, they probably grew up the same way and decide, I'm not going to be like my mom. Yeah. I didn't like what my mom was going through. And this is one of the reasons why when things get rough and hard for me, I'm very open to my kids. I said, this is hard because I don't want to give them that false sense that I'm living this perfect life and nothing bothers me and I have no struggles. So I let them know that this is hard. Me doing this, holding down a household and raising all of you guys by myself is hard. So when they go out there, they don't expect that from somebody else thinking my mom was superwoman, right? So there is, it's so deep.
Yeah.
We need therapists on this. That's how deep it is. And I realized after running that group for so long that if you have 2,000 single people in a group together,
yeah,
we're all supposedly single, right? Why aren't we coming together? Why aren't the stats a little bit more higher? Why is that the men aren't coming out? Why is it that the women prefer to have brunches with each other because they're willing to spend $150 just to hang out and have company while it just doesn't make sense. Like it's one of the biggest questions, like what is happening? Like why is it that our people can't get along? Like we love each other.
It has a lot to do with access. Like we have so many men in front of us, so many women in front of us, the apps, the social media, access everywhere. And so with that, it's like, okay, if I'm talking to you and you piss me off, I can go talk to somebody else. So nobody's really investing the time and energy into fixing any issues that they run into and get to know each other because they have options. Yeah. But the options aren't real because you're still single after so many years, even with all these options, because you keep running from one to another. And I personally feel like that is the primary reason. Yes, back in the days, our moms, our grandparents, they were able to maintain relationships because they didn't have access. They were home. The fathers were outside working. Mothers were inside. They probably could only cheat with the neighbor.
Yeah.
Because they don't go nowhere, right? They don't have no apps on their phone to say, let's see what else is out there.
Right.
Yeah, but you're literally there in that little community and you don't want to mess with the man up the street because your man is going to find out. So I think it boils down to access. Because even me, part of the reason is when I open my app and see 100 people trying to reach out to me, I just put it down.
Me too.
Because I don't have time.
I don't have time.
Time to sift through all of that. So access is really, because if only two men was reaching out to me, I would probably spend the time and talk to those two men.
That is true. Another thing too, and this is why I wanted to have that particular aspect of the group of meeting up. It wasn't, I wasn't throwing parties and big dance or no, it was good music, good food, and nice atmosphere. And we play some games. So it was like old school, I think they called them socials back then, where you're just hanging out. You're literally just coming, seeing the same people, sometimes fresh faces, and you're hanging out. And that's something that whenever I say I'm an old school dater, that's what I'm used to seeing. I know I was young back then. I was a teenager. Yeah. But at the same time, every Friday night, the same people were meeting up at the same corner every single weekend. So even if you didn't have cell phone, you know that John comes here at 9:15 every single night. I must see John. He's going to be there. I'm going to accidentally go over there and act like I wasn't planning to come see John.
Yeah.
And that's just how it works. You see the same familiar faces and then you start interacting. But here, you don't have, as you said, you have access in your hand. I don't like you. I don't like you. I don't like you. I don't like your picture. Right. You're kissing a dog. I don't like you.
And I don't like your skirt.
and you in your head, you just eliminated people who you have no conversations with.
Yep.
Right? So it's, as you said, you're right. Maybe if only two people, that has so much power right there. Because I get overwhelmed too. I see, I'm scrolling. I'm like, zoops. And I'm like, oh my God.
You know what? I'm gonna just put this down. Think about it. Even with clothes, I remember back in the past when I only had a few outfits to wear, the decision was easy. It was this or that. Now you open your closet, you're seeing all. I don't have nothing to
and
wear.
You go buy a new outfit because you just don't want to choose. So you go get something new.
See? So it's literally what is happening with dating as well. You have so many in front of you. You don't know which one to choose. So you go and download a different app. Then you go through the same process over and over again because you just don't want to choose.
And at the same time, too, there's certain questions that I ask where I will eliminate you just like that. Mm-hmm. I need to know where you live. Because distance is important. And there's a joke in Toronto. Like, Toronto people don't like traveling. You're in the East End and I'm in the West End. It's not going to work. Granted, East and West is like 40 minutes away. But you're too far. So I need to know where in the city you are. I need to know if you have kids. Yes or no. And if you want more kids. Because if you do, no, it's not going to happen. I need to know what's your background. Because I want to make sure that we're culturally compatible. Right?
Yeah.
And I also need to know, are you single? Like, are you actually, are you single? Does somebody else claim you? You know what I mean? So those are like really important questions, and I will eliminate you just based on, I don't need to know anything. I don't care where you work. And these are things that I will tell people. I went to speed dating sessions and I would say, don't ask what you work, what you do for fun. These are the questions you ask. If a man, you're going out with a woman on a speed dating, say to her, what do you typically do on the weekends? And what do you do on holidays? You need to know that this girl has friends, has a social life, because guess what? You're going to become her social life. You're going to become her needs, her wants, her mall buddy, her grocery store buddy. And make sure she has family as well. Make sure she has a support system. Because I could tell you I work at this big corporate job that pays me a couple million a year, and I could lose my job tomorrow. True. Right? It's really not important. Where I live, my situation can change. I can live in this mansion of a house, and tomorrow I'm homeless because things happen, right? So there's just certain things that get a little bit deeper. Find out, how was your childhood? Don't ask about their future because things change. Ask about their past. Ask about their upbringing. What's your relationship like with your mom? You got to find out, do you have mommy issues? Do you have daddy issues? What's your birth order? Right? Because that is so important. And it shapes the personality of the person. You know, if they're not responsible because they're firstborn, or they get everything they want because they're the last, or they're the middle child that felt left out and, you know, always feeling that they need a space to belong, right? So those, I always tell people, ask about their past. Don't ask no future questions because people can lie.
Yeah.
You don't know if I tell you in 2 years I plan to own a bank. That's my goal. Do I have any intentions or have any finances to do that? No, but you ask me a question and I'm telling you, ask me what I did back then, ask me. So, you know what I mean? So start doing, like, ask about the past. It really tells you who the person is today.
Yes, that's so deep and very important, very necessary. Like, I saw recently someone says, people keep saying that one of their deal breaker is a dishonest person. But a dishonest person is not going to tell you that they are a liar. So that's something that you will figure out deep, deep down in the relationship. So when you go on a dating platform, put in a liar or someone who is dishonest, really does nothing for your elimination process because it's not something that you can easily vet.
Mm-hmm.
So what you said, definitely, I totally agree. Still want to know what your goals are, though, but
ask about, because as I said, you want to make sure that when you get with this person, you want to be each other's everything, but sometimes you're too dependent on each other and that creates problem. because you still have to. And that's why when relationships end, some people, they cut off everybody around them. And then when that relationship ends, they have nobody. Or my friend is your friend and we go to your friend's functions and I don't have any friends. So when we break up and your friends go with you, I have nobody. So you still have to maintain your circle. I actually feel like I might be one of those people who says we can sleep in our own rooms, because at the end of the day, I think, and I said, imagine you've been single for so long. You watch your shows, your Real Housewife, you watch all your Bad Girl Club, whatever you watch. And this is what you do every day. And then now somebody's in your space. They go to sleep at 8 o'clock. They don't want any loud noise in their ears. And you're somebody up all night talking on the phone. And then it creates a problem because now you guys got to compromise. Babes, you go to your bed later, or I have to go to my bed earlier, right? Yeah. And now people aren't happy because they're not used to the things that they've been accustomed to for so long. So I feel like, next partner, let's have a spare room and go do your thing. Go play your game. Go do what. Go watch your sport. Go do what you need to do. Let me go talk to my girlfriend, and not every night, but still give you your space.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, I completely agree with that. It's tough. And that's another reason why a lot of people are single, because they've been single for so long. They're so accustomed to doing everything on their own. So when they do get with someone and that person operates completely different, it causes a lot of conflict.
Yeah, because you go back to your comfort zone.
You go back to your comfort zone. So definitely agree with that. So I'm going to shift gear for a little bit and speak a little bit about my survey. So when I was writing my book, I did a survey with men and women. And one of the common theme was women believe, I asked a question, rate your worth from 1 to 10. And I was surprised to see that a lot of women rated themselves low. So 5 and below or 6 and below. Mm-hmm. So self-worth is big. How do you feel about yourself, and how do you think it affects your overall, how a woman show up in person when it comes down to dating and relationship?
I'm very surprised by that number, actually. I thought it would be higher. They would rate themselves higher. For me, having a higher value on your self-worth, to me, makes it even harder to find that partner, because I know what do you bring to the table? I know what I bring to the table. I know who I am, what I've built for myself and my kids. I know myself. I know I'm a good person. I know all these things about myself, right? And it's like bragging a little bit, but you established all these things and did all of these things working on yourself. And why should I settle for anything less than what I have produced myself? And I say it, and the last time I said to a guy, he's talking to me and he said, oh, you're going to be my wife. I'm like, oh, okay, here we go. And I said to him, let me tell you something. You want to know my monthly expenses to maintain this house and grocery and bills? I said it's $6,000, right? That doesn't include entertainment, clothes, anything like that. So if you're going to come over here, you have to make my life easier than what I am already doing for myself. I'm not telling you to come pay my bills. That's not what I'm saying. I'm saying if I'm holding down this household and I'm doing my cooking, cleaning, dealing with the kids, everything that's needed, paying all my bills, where do you see yourself fitting in, and how can you make my life easier? Are you going to say, don't pay for childcare, I finish work early, I'll pick the kids up, I'll drop them to school. You know what?
Yeah.
Costco, give me the membership. I will be taking care of this. I will be doing that. You have to come in and make my life easier and vice versa. I need to make sure that when I get with you, your life has more meaning to it. Your life is easier, not more stressful. So if if my self-worth makes me think that I have all of this happening for myself and I see myself as a worthy person, it's not wrong for me to want an equally yoked partner. Because I've heard girls say, I'm not marrying potential. And I'm like, oh my God, what's wrong with these girls? I did. I married potential. And to not say anything negative.
Yeah.
Opposites doesn't always attract. Let's just say that. Right? Yeah. Sometimes it pulls you apart like a magnet. Two separate ways. Right? So I honestly feel like if you value yourself a certain way, then you have a high expectation of what you deserve. And there's nothing wrong with that.
Yeah.
Right?
As I said, I posted recently, I said, not because you can't reach the top shelf where I'm at means I should come down. You got to reach up there. Mm-hmm. And I'm sticking to that. Okay.
Yeah.
So yeah, that's definitely real. One of the things that came from the survey was also a lot of women stay in relationship because of potential, because they expected him to change, because they expected him to accept them, because they expected him to love them, right? What would you say to those women, especially as a person who have actually lived it?
This is such a heavy one, because it was really one of the biggest deciding factor. How I said with the sleeping partners and having your pattern, if you're with someone and too much change is happening and stuff, people tend to pull back because now I don't feel like myself. I'm too far changed. And sometimes it's not just a bad change. It could be a good change that maybe I'm not ready for all of this, right? Maybe I'm not ready for marriage and you're proposing marriage. Oh my God, this is amazing. But it's too much of a change. And that change, even though it's a positive change, I'm pulling back because I'm not ready, right? Just the same as a negative change that all of a sudden I had money in my pocket and now we're together. Wink, wink. And now I don't have no money, right? You're draining me. So now I'm pulling back. So that change, too much change, you can compromise, but don't change who you are. Because once you're doing too much of that, then you're not going to be happy. And if you can, if you have to question every day, who am I? And you're so far from the person that you were when you first entered, then that's a problem. Regardless, as I said, which direction you're going, right? Compromise,
and if your son is not, you're not seeing any progress, and you know for sure that this is what I want, this is my desire, this is my expectation, and you're not getting it, should they still sit and say, you know what, I still see that potential, so let me hold on a little bit longer?
No. Listen, you have to just accept people for who they are. And I learned that the hard way. I tried gentle hints in changing certain things because I just thought, if you just tweak this a little bit, you can be a better version of yourself. But the person wasn't happy with that because they felt they were good enough at the level that they were at.
That's the part. Yeah. Right? They're not going to cheat. They think they're doing everything right.
So you can't, you can't expect, you just have to take it for whatever it is. Like whatever, if I find you today on the dating website and you're saying to me in our first conversation, and I said, I don't like smokers. And you said, well, I smoke on the weekends and I know I cannot date a smoker, but in my head, I can convince you to stop smoking. Mm-hmm. You don't even need to smoke on the weekend. But I know that is a big deal breaker for me. And I go in there expecting that you're going to change. Even if you tell me this, you already told me you're a smoker on the weekends. You smoke on the weekend. And now I'm expecting you to change. And now I'm forcing you to do something that you didn't want to do. But I'm thinking, if you just stop smoking, you're perfect.
Yes.
And you don't feel like you need to stop this lifestyle because you already gave up five other days. Right? So I said, sometimes the tweaking, it might seem like it's a positive thing, but to the person, it's asking too much. Right? Yes. So you just have to leave people where they're at. If they're not at that place and they're not going to that place by themselves, then don't push them to that place, because then you're going to push them away and you're going to disappoint yourself because you're expecting somebody to change who had no intentions of changing in the first place.
Facts. I co-sign that 100%. You cannot change a person that doesn't want to be changed. You cannot change a person that doesn't think they need to change. And you will be there knocking at that door until years have gone by. And now you're at the point where, okay, I've already invested 2 years. So instead of leaving, might as well just wait until he change. But then you're wasting your years away, because the person is not going to change until they want to change. They usually don't change because of you. They change because they've gotten to that point where they want to be a different man.
And sometimes, so, as soon as they separate from you, they become that perfect person for the next person. It just wasn't for you.
And it may not even be for the next person. It may just be for the season they're at that moment.
Mm-hmm.
But it so happens that it's right after you. But thank you so much for that. We are almost at the end. So I want to ask, what's one thing you want people to remember about love, community, or even themselves after sharing what you shared today?
Put yourself first, even before your kids. Take care of yourself. Self-care is super important. And don't be afraid to say no and set boundaries. And I really do mean boundaries with everybody, including your kids. Because even as simple as having this conversation with you, my little ones aren't here, but my young adults are here. And I had to establish boundaries. You cannot sit here while I'm doing this because I need to do something for me. I know people don't want to have certain boundaries with their kids, but have that boundary in every aspect of your life, and it will bring you peace. Because you got to take care of you first before you could take care of anybody else. And before anybody could take care of you, because how are they going to take care of you if you don't even know how to take care of you?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I love that. Thank you so much for sharing that. And ladies, I completely agree. Learn to set your boundaries. There's a chapter in my book for boundaries as well. So if you want some help with what does boundary look like or how to set them, you can definitely get my book. It's going to be released in December.
Oh.
So follow me to learn more about that. I can't wait. I'm actually excited about that project that I've been working on for the past few months. And I think it will definitely help a lot of you. So a lot of what we spoke about today, there's a chapter in the book for it.
Nice.
So thank you so much, Shanna. I like to end with some rapid fire questions. So let me get into that. So first one, what's one thing that always helps you heal after a tough day?
Singing.
Come on, you gotta give us a few lines.
Oh, hell
something.
No. This it will be on the internet forever. No.
Oh. All right. All right. So what's a song that instantly makes you feel empowered then?
I don't have a particular song that I would say, but anything about God, even if it's not a gospel song, the one that I'm singing a lot these days is the one that says something about the angels up in the sky. You know that one?
Yeah.
something ordinary. The ordinary. Till you're dead and buried. I don't know. I said I'm going to look what it's saying because I'm like, this song is moving me, but I know he mentioned it. I said he's mentioning ecstasy. And he's like, this is higher than ecstasy. So, but it speaks to me because it just feels like something greater is happening, bigger than what the angels have experienced. And I just feel like that's happening in my life sometimes. So, yeah.
Yeah. Awesome. All right. And what's one boundary, as we spoke about boundary, you've learned to reclaim since your breakup?
I was going to say no dick pics. I don't want, let me tell you, I have no need for it. Don't ever send it to me. Unsolicited is never okay. Never. Never okay. Don't send it. I don't want to see it. Yeah. And that's my boundary on that. As soon as you do that, I'm tapped out.
It's a wrap.
That's it. And I don't want to tell you not to do that because I'm not supposed to be telling grown men how to behave. You're over 40. You should not think this is okay. And I have kids. Yeah. My phone, everybody knows my password. Don't do it. So that's my boundary. Don't send it.
especially when they send it and you're not expecting it and you open it in public.
I was like, oh my God, I'm at work. Oh, you act like you work at a church. You can't do that. My kids are on my phone and I'm like, oh my God. They're like, mommy, can I? I said, hold on.
Yes.
Because I don't know what's going to pop up.
So, okay. So last question. Worst first date vibe, is it someone ghosting you or someone talking about their ex the entire time?
Asking about my friend.
Asking about, oh.
So that girl asking in about, the picture with you, who, like, what?
People do that?
Because I'm like, you can't like somebody in my friend circle, even if this is not going to work out, you can't like somebody in my immediate circle because it gets awkward now. Like, don't ask about my friends. Like, that's weird.
Oh my gosh.
Weird vibes.
All right. And I know I said the last one, but I have to ask, who runs the house, mom or the kids?
I run this shit. I tell my friends, I said, you got to let them think you're crazy. You got to let them think you're crazy.
So.
Yeah. So once they think you're crazy, you have reached the highest level of motherhood. When your kids don't want you showing up at school, regardless of their age, that's the level.
Okay, well,
Any Black mom or any mom needs to get to that level. Let your kids think you're crazy and let them be scared of you showing up at school, regardless if they're in the wrong or if somebody did them wrong. You don't want my crazy mom showing up.
Yeah. So my son thinks I'm crazy. So
there
maybe
you go.
I'm
you're there.
He said Jamaicans are crazy.
There you go.
So Shanna, is there any social media handle, websites, anything that you want to share for the listeners today?
No.
No. Okay.
When I go on a dating website, I will.
All right, guys. You know what, y'all, to follow her. Not right now.
I can't.
She
keep
is
up.
Taking a break.
I can't keep up with social media.
All right. Well, Gemini, thank you so much for being so transparent and fun today. To my listeners, remember, love and community starts with being real with yourself. And don't pretend. Ensure that you are out here living your best life, not trying to please the people around you, but putting yourself first, as Shanna said, and learn to set your boundaries. So until next time, remember to like, subscribe, and share this video with a friend. And be on the lookout for my book, Sis, You Are Her, that's coming out in December. And just continue being you. Bye. Love y'all.
Bye.
Thank you for watching another episode of The Blueprint. Please subscribe to my channel, like, comment, and share this video. Until next week, take care. Bye.